Good morning and thank you very much. We're going to get started, so if you guys want to take a seat. I've got to watch the beginning. The timekeeper watches the end of the time. It was really interesting to see the previous presentation. I think that's really good stuff. And that's about publishing your data. I'm going to drill a little deeper, and that's about the actual data creation, right down to where that is created and working with that. So the focus here is bridging the gap between this CAD and GIS in cadastral mapping, the focus being the cadastral mapping part of that. How many of you are using both CAD and GIS in your organizations? Okay. It's pretty much a very common thing, and even if you just use one of them, you still deal with data from the other. A little bit about our company, MUNSYS. It's Municipal Systems. The acronym is based on that. But in essence, it's a new product. It's only been in the U.S. about 4 years. I think you guys probably have heard, you heard me last year, so you've sort of seen us around. And we're growing rapidly. We're very focused on the actual data editors, data capturing. That's what we do. And we dovetail very well with the sorts of things you saw previously this morning. Because we store our data in an open format, in a publicly defined data standard. And so any system can pretty much connect to that and use that. And that makes a big difference. So the real thing that we do is provide a set of solutions that deal with the handling of your data. Utility companies use us a lot, state and local governments. That's our focus, and we kind of just niche exactly on that. And we interconnect with many other systems. And so just dealing with the kind of mapping data, and I'm not going to give you all of the products, because I have about three real main points that I want to show you while talking about bridging the gap between CAD and GIS. We have specific applications. I'll be showing you cadastral and MapBooks applications today, just a little bit of it. We have other things for dealing with the back-end data, automatically moving deleted items or edited items and date stamping them and sticking them in the data store, keeping track of that for you. And really the differentiator with MUNSYS is that we run our editing products on AutoCAD. And so our philosophy is there is CAD and there is GIS. The GIS side is actually fairly well taken care of, but in terms of editing, there are many, many people who are trained and who use the power of the editing engine offered by CAD. And so based on that, we provide products on CAD-based systems, but we do it in such a way that GIS can connect connect to exactly the same data. Live. And that's really the differentiator. Virtually every one of our customers has GIS in there as well. Actually, I don't sell CAD, I don't sell GIS, I sell a product for specific applications that bridges that gap. And so that's really where we come from. Monster diagram, CAD product here, but applications that run on top of it, and I'll be showing you cadastral and MapBooks. The thing that we change with the CAD is we actually move the data and provide applications to move your data out of the drawings and into, for the data editing, the data capturing, and that's what I'll be talking about today. We move that data into essentially open standard Oracle tables, and all Oracle tables have a geometry column and have that capability and can scale up to extremely large data sets. So as a CAD user, you're using CAD, but really, we've actually switched the game, and even though you see it as a drawing, you work with it as a drawing, it's actually a single continuous database in the back end. And that has huge implications. So we have products to administer stuff. I mentioned Archive and Monitor, which allow you to automatically track changes and updates. Any kind of web-based mapping product can view this data and present it. So I look forward to chatting with CD Data and having that as the ability to feed your data into that. Obviously, in any instance, we link with various other applications to bring in data that links to essentially the base information. And so The real thing about Munsis is it's all about CAD and GIS. I want to kind of walk down that path, the CAD and GIS integration path. And you'll see, and it's interesting to look at your agenda, we have, you know, each product, it's kind of a theme. Obviously, it's an issue, and it's something we want to kind of work with. My view on that is use the right tool for the right job. And by that, we mean when you're doing actual editing and you really want to put in arc with a point, a radius, and a bulge, etc., and you're drawing passes and constructing those, you really want to be doing that in a product that is widely used, but store that data so that GIS can get to it live. So if we walk down this track of CAD and GIS, today it's a little confusing because all the CAD systems kind of have a bunch of GIS stuff in them. And the GIS systems have a bunch of CAD and can consume the CAD data. So for the user who's really trying to just get their job done and isn't necessarily an IT specialist or a software specialist or a programmer per se, it's like, well, wait a minute. You guys confuse me because you show me all these demos of data just coming from everywhere. What's really the bottom line? So it gets a little confusing. And if you go to any organization, most of them have all kinds of data. So that just builds up more issues. And so our mission is we'll bring those together. If you look at CAD, it's all about the rich drawing experience. You know, dynamic panning and zooming, X number of snaps, whole number of dimensions and annotations, and being able to do that, just switching layers and moving all of that stuff is great. And CAD does an excellent job of that. Having full element precision for defining arcs and putting those in, I mean, true arcs as in, you know, a mathematic arc. On GIS, and I've, you know, been in this CAD GIS thing for many, many years, in GIS it's a little different in that it's really about, there's a lot more emphasis and capability, quite frankly, for producing way better looking maps. Cartographic excellence, absolutely. But there's usually a whole lot more data behind the picture, attributions, data attributes. And also there's a whole lot more analysis and modeling that generally gets done there. So you have kind of people that look at it from different perspectives, and what we try and do is bring that together. So the real problem is, and if you look in the organizations too, it's kind of interesting, whenever I go to these organizations, there's different data flows for the guys doing the CAD stuff. They're worried about layers, they're worried about bringing a whole bunch of drawings together. You get the GIS, they're saying, wait a minute, what's the data schema? How do we link this with other systems and how does that work? So it's just a completely different workflow. But they really need to share their data, particularly in utility companies, but as you get into a local government, there's a lot of other data that you have to deal with. So what we do is, you know, if you're coming with the existing tools, there's kind of each of these two groups run down a separate path for building their data and capturing their data, and it kind of ends up so that you have often just two different data sets. Or you decide, well, wait a minute, this is nuts, we've got two data sets, let's do something to bring them together. So you then do data processing and you run a lot of fairly heavy duty processing to dig through the CAD data and create it like GIS wants it. Okay, take all those lines and make them into a polygon based layer, for example. And what happens is you have these two separate systems being maintained. So how many times in your organization do you hear this question, well, you know, when did we get the last update? And is this up to date? If you're hearing that question, then you have a challenge between your data sets. And when you do this fixing of data by moving them backwards and forwards, that in itself creates its own little set of problems. Okay, you've got to do validation, and do your due diligence, make sure that nothing's getting lost, that everything adds up, and you generally, when you start working with data, you'll pick up issues in the data set because of the way it was done, or it was done in a way that is not set up for looking at it in a slightly different way. So the way the CAD works, really, it's not necessarily done in the same way as the GIS folks would like to look at it. So you may, in fact, have, you know, anything up to twice or more of the effort because you now have this third intermediate step going on. And so what we do is we say, no, what we want to do is create GIS-ready CAD data. So user gets to use a CAD system, but we move their data to a different data store. And so we store this data in an open GIS format. So open GIS consortium, the way in which they define the arcs, the lines, the polygons. Use that format, because then any open system can connect to it, whether it's a commercial one that can connect to open data, or a one of the shared ones, or open source, for example. The goal being, don't duplicate any data. Have two systems looking at the same data set. That's really what you want. And it enables each group to kind of manage their own stuff, their own things that they want out of the data. It helps a lot in terms of data flow, because now the single data source is available to everyone, and from that single data source, you can always automate the feeds of other data that are more consumer-oriented, the kind of thing we saw right just before this. You can automate that, because now the data is coming out of a simple database, or a complex database, but from a single data store, not thousands or hundreds of drawing files. Big difference in terms of its accessibility. So let's take a look at it. Let's see, can you see that? All right, so here's just a sample data set, and I'm not going to show you every last function. In fact, I'm going to make 3 points here. I'll just show you, well, there is data there, and it is, you see it as a drawing, but in point of fact, it is data that's out of the database. So if I come in here and I can just come in and query stuff. So notice, instead of opening a drawing, I'm going in and doing, querying data. So I'll just start off with pretty colors, and then we'll get down to some real nitty-gritty data. So that would just be a parcel map that happens to be themed up, because if I click on it, I actually have a bunch of information about land use in this instance, and so it's been colored up according to that. And of course, you can link this data if I just pull in just the regular parcel boundaries. And you notice it's running a query. So now if I come onto any given parcel, the parcel itself has data. These are columns in a database, and I'm showing you the raw column values. I guess I could show you more friendly ones that are somewhat more readable with numbers, and that can be linked to any number of other information. So your assessor's role or your financial. Now the funny part about the earlier presentation and this one is, and it stands to reason the moment you step back and think about it, the people doing the data editing kind of also need that same easy to use other functionality, but they need still to be able to see the attributes of what they're dealing with. So it's not kind of, if you have a browser-based system, that you don't need the person editing the data to actually still get to drill down into attributes and link to and look at assessor's role. So even the high-powered, heavy-duty editing engine, you still need to be able to get to information. So showing you there's data there. So the question then is, well, how do you maintain this? I said I'll show you three things. Editing data, creating map books, which pretty much you can roll right out there, and then just integrating this data with CAD and GIS. Three things I'm going to show you. I'm not going to show you the entire products and all that. That takes a little while longer. So here's some data. And if we look at this, you can query it. You can slice and dice this by setting up a query filter. For example, on the parcels here, this thing is set up to go in and look at all parcels that have a status of active, so that any of the history ones are not being shown in my default map, for example. That sort of thing is easy to show. Let's go in and look at, say, some data, and actually go into the data editing and how to build this. Because behind all of this, there'll be a set of line work and then a set of parcels. So I'm going to exit out of that and actually just go to my desktop and go in and let's go to CCMA. So this is, you see, a regular CAD, and then you'll see the Munsters applications on top of that. What that means is the CAD user has all their CAD functionality plus some more stuff. So just some data in there. I go in and first time I'm going to connect, so let's see, CCMA. And each person has a username and a login. And it takes you to that data set. So here we have some data. And actually, this is derived from a drawing that would have looked like that. So the difference between these is, this is a CAD drawing, right? Your traditional, you know, map sheet, CAD map sheet. And so if you go on here, you'll see how it's drawn. You've got rail arcs, you've got lines, the lines are carefully laid out on various layer standards. You've got the, you know, addresses, parcel numbers, APNs, or whatever. You've got a kind of arrangement of layers for dealing with where the lot boundaries are. So if you toggle those on and off, you can see where the lots are, you can see where the parcels are. And that's your CAD drawing. The challenge is, well, how do you get this into such a format that you can A, maintain this, and B, it's transparently available to the GIS folks? That's the real challenge. So, to take this, you can see that arc there, and this, by the way, is drawn as a rail, you know, arc with a bulge and, and an angle and the length and all. And so you want to use the, keep that information available and not lose that precision. But when you polygonize this, what happens to that section that runs from there to there? What do you do with it? Okay? It's always a challenge. You turn it into grass clippings and string it together as a line. What do you do with it? Okay, because you still want to have an arc with the same diameter that it had in the first place. And there's the little challenge right there for CAD and most of the GIS systems. They don't deal with that very well. So we take this and convert it. So let me switch then back to this drawing, which is the same data essentially. I'm showing it to you in different colors. And what you'll notice here is, in fact, let me zoom to a small little area of this. And you can have, I'll go to this demo area and zoom to that. Ridiculously small area. This is taking that same data, just regen it. Taking that same data and run a process where it's taken that very same arc and split it. This is, in fact, a genuine arc. I can show you that. And if you go in there and actually put that in there, you'll see if I just drill all the way down and list it for you. There it is. It's the same arc with the same diameter as the one I showed you before. All right? So, real easy. And so you can come in now and at any time, of course, run a query to view that data. So, I'm going to come in and here's the line work that you would maintain in this system. Just standard line work. And of course, you take that and build that into parcels. To show you the parcel. So here, just to show you, I didn't want to mess with the real data, so I made all the sample area. Here's parcels. That's a complete parcel. Polygonized and built out with the arcs, etc. Okay? So I'm going to delete that and go and mess with the underlying line work and then use that line work. Because what happens is as you put in subdivisions or you correct your data, you need to update this. So just show you that. Here's the line work, right? So I come in here, I select this in CAD, and I move it. Okay? It's changed color because it's now modified. It's actually locked in the database on the back end, because this data is coming out of the database, so multi-users can be working on the same data. And when I actually post this change to the database, it will take these lines and move the old ones into the archive automatically and keep the new ones as the current ones. And so it keeps track of what's been changed, geometry or attributes. You can also go in and move that, go in and edit this. I don't want to do that. Undo. If I go in and actually take this arc and edit it, I'm going to make it crazy possible, okay? That's not a problem right now. And all I do at this point is it looks like I'm working in a drawing, but actually I'm working on the data in the database live that the GIS also connects to live. That's the difference. That's multi-user, and I'm tracking all the changes. So now I can post this to the database, okay? So I just come in and I say, just go in and, actually I should be in the, I'm not in the right module. Any one of these will do. Just changing out my top menu. I just put this back in the database. So I post it to the database. I just wanted that, I put the toolbar there. And that's going to then go in, move the old ones into the new archive table with what's changed, and post that, and now I have new line work. And that's really what you want to maintain. Sure, you're doing it in a set of map books, you're doing it in a whole complex arrangement, and I simplified it down here. But now what we have is, well, wait a minute, you just moved the line work, right? The parcels, they don't match that line work anymore. All right? Let's just change the color of that parcel there if we can. Let's put the parcels in, say, green. All right? So the parcels are green. Well, you can see where the line work has changed. There's other line work underneath this that these parcels were derived from. So what we're really going to do here is you want to know, well, hang on a minute. How do we take this data and, when line work is changed, run a thing to just update the parcel. So basically, and remember, all of this data is sitting in the database, not in the back end. So I just run a script which I can put on the menu. Select the lines, so now I put in the land lines. And select the parcels you want to process. Just do all of these. And then that will run and go in and update these things. So it's going to go in and update those parcels and have that boundary change so that it's now like that. Now the parcels match, they derive from a single cell line work that you run through. The reason it took a little long is I've actually still got all this guys over here as well, so it was just filtering through my drawing. But in here, this parcel is now updated. I didn't change the number of the parcel, excuse me, I just updated the geometry. Thanks. So that just shows you a little bit on how to run those. While we're here, thank you so much. You can go into any of this data, and it's live, it's in a coordinate system, in state plane, or whatever you've defined. Excuse me. There we go, that's much better, thank you. So just one thing we're showing you editing data. There are a whole lot of tools for, you know, putting in vertices, defining the arcs, taking CAD data, moving it straight into the database, etc. But just that little single set of line work that then drives the parcel layer, which automatically keeps track of what the changes were, that is huge for being able to do it in a CAD-based system. You'll notice also that it's pretty easy to use. You're not having to do the hundreds of little CAD functions to do all of the stuff. You actually can just run the utility and it updates your data set. The second thing I wanted to show you is how to create map books out of the system, because now what I have here is, in essence, an entire set of data for your entire area, and I'm just showing you this piece over here. But how do you then, you put it all into a central, taking all those map books, put all that data into one central database, how do you then make that into map books? And I'm not going to give you every piece of functionality on that once again, but I'll just go in and show it to you. Just running to, generate a set of say, predefined map books. And there's various ways of doing the map books. The only difference here is it's driven out of the same queries that we used to edit and define the data. We're using that to go right in here. So let me just log in quickly to a slightly different area. So each user at login determines their permissions, what they can edit, what they can see. I'm actually now switching from that other data set to a different data set. It determines what queries they get to see over here. So there's a whole lot of stuff in there. If I go in here, you'll see that in this particular data set, I have those parcels that I showed you. And what I can do is roll out to the MapBooks application. And so this is a single continuous parcel sheet. There's actually utility data in here as well. I've gone in previously and defined a map book setup with the sheets. So I'm just going to load that now. It's stored in the database. What that's done is load where the boundaries are, the page size, the header information, all of that stuff. Laid it out. Also in here, I've set up the little layouts, the CAD layouts, so that I can see what my what it's going to come out like. That's all set up for you. Once that's set up, you simply go in and say, generate the drawings. At this point, you can choose, you know, any of the sheets, or maybe you just want to, you know, update sheets 7 and 8, maybe, 13. Pick and choose, mix and match. And it's going to run a predefined set of data. It's going to go to each area, clip that out, and save that back out as an individual drawing. So why am I, it sounds backwards. You had all these drawings, you put them in the database. Now you're making all the drawings again. Well, because drawings are still something that people require and want to look at. It's just now I'm guaranteeing that are coming out of the same single source that's been used to maintain my line work and my parcels, and I can now republish that. One of the ways of publishing is back out as a drawing file. Of course, GIS can connect to that live. So let's go in and look at one of those just quickly. If I go file open and go find it, let me make sure I get one that was created like now. That'd probably be it right up there. So what did it do? 14, 13, it's split them out into even and odd numbering, and has a numbering system and all that stuff. But here you have, it's clipped out a piece, put the little, you know, a border around it, and it's, you know, the data with the street address and whatever we had laid out in there, so it goes. So slicing and dicing from a single data source out into drawing files. You're not losing that, you are enabled by doing that, okay? So, just in response to the earlier presentation, kind of interesting, as I mentioned, the data editors probably still need the functionality that the other guys had in the first place, you know, that the browser-based applications have. So when you come into the actual heavy-duty lifting of the editing, what you have is a single data set for your given county or ward. And here we go. So I'm just going, I'll choose a different area. This is a... it's a parcel fabric, but it is for a utility district down in Marin County. So just to make things a little interesting, and I'll just have to remember the password for that. Maybe. I think that'll work. So this is located in State Plain, but just to show you some of the, you know, kind of being able to publish your data out and look at it. And if my internet connection is connected, which I think it is, I could take this data, this CAD data, okay, it's actually data in a database that GIS is looking at, the CAD data, and publish that out into Google Earth or Google Maps, and just select the ones I want to publish out. So if I had that map book, I could do that one, or I can come in here and say just pick a few of them. I'm going to just choose a few because it does take a little time. And you'll see now I sit there and it actually takes that data, reprojects it out to lat longs, creates the KML file, opens Google Earth, and zooms you to it, and hopefully everything lines up. Okay. But just, we're in changing times. The Microsoft stuff, the Google Earth stuff is changing the way in which we can use the data. It doesn't change the fact we still got to go and draw it precision correct and maintain it in CAD, but it changes what we can do. So now the person who's editing it could go in here. You could go the other way. Type in an address here, zoom to it in your data set, right? In the CAD. Okay? Yeah. So you can come in here and look at it. What's the difference? Well, pictures are here or there probably within 2 years, and I paid nothing to see this. Okay? Pictures are right there. You can go in and set attributes on these. It's pretty powerful, and yeah, you can play with, you know, the whole 3D thing. You know, if you come in here and start, you know, moving the world around, and you can just, you know, take a look at it. You've also got Street View. So one of the things that Google Ads was this whole Street View deal. Actually, let me show you Street View in a browser. It kind of looks a lot nicer. Just to show you that as well. So let's come in here. I'm going to come here and say, put this in the browser as opposed to Google Earth. The difference between Google Earth and Google Maps Google Earth is the application, you install it, etc. Google Maps is, you know, in the browser, so it's coming here. Let's call it CCMA, just because. And go. Select which things, I'll take much the same guys, hit enter. So now, instead of putting it in that Google Earth thing, I'm actually going to create a little web page and embed in that Google Maps as the backdrop. Now notice I'm working real hard here. At this stage I've only got, let's say I'm going to allow it. I've only got one layer, I've got the parcel layer. But this is Google Maps, and there my parcel's right on top. Here's the yellow color, yeah, it doesn't look too bad up there. Google Maps has Street View as well, so you can come in and go into anywhere on the map and get yourself a 3D picture of what it looked like. Okay? So now, wherever you see these blue lines, if you turn on Street View, that would be that button. A lot of cities are covered these days. You can go in, zoom in, look at it, walk down the street, check it out. Okay? Right at your fingertips. You can do this in Google Earth too, get the 3D view. So, you know, just throwing that in, I think it's really great to have these abilities to publish data and look at it in different technologies. Bottom line, however, is you drew this with a system that had to be coordinate, correct, and keep track of that low-down data editing, and that's, you know, the stuff that we do very well. So, that's kind of the product piece of that. Let me, I can leave that up, let me go back to my slides. I just wanted to show you a little bit of you know, data editing and working with that. So, moving on. What about this CAD-GIS thing? Okay, I keep waving my hands at, but here's a diagram. You've got, say, Munsys or any of, you know, the Munsys system. We'll store the data centrally. You want to be able to see it in a GIS. And in fact, we now actually have tools where you can, in fact, edit this same data in either product. Okay, I'll just show you them reading each other through there, but you can edit this thing in either one. And so in the GIS, you can be connected to a data set. In Munsys, you can be connected to a data set. And each one of these two products can see data from the other one. And so, I'll, in this instance, show you the S3 thing. I'm actually going to spare you, take you to about minute one here, and walk you through just showing data. Right, so this should look familiar. It's much the same data that we had before. And there it is in Munsys. So I just zoomed to it. I've switched on, say, building outlines. You may or may not have that. This one also, I think, has water utility data in there. You can go into the Esri products, and if you've set up, say, through the data interoperability extension or through our database share program, you can just add a layer. And I'm going into GIS, Esri, adding it and pointing it to the Oracle data set. Oh, it's an old one, Oracle 8. We're on Oracle 11 now, but anyway. been doing this a little while. And then you can go in and add that layer. So you just go set that up. Once you have it there, the Esri user doesn't know that it's coming out of a different data set. It's just a layer they've got it. Okay? And they can view it. So you set it up here, you go to the product, you have it, it's now just a theme as a list, so you can add it in there. And there's the connection, and off you go. There are various ways of connecting and working with this data. Once you've solved the problem of editing it in a form where you can keep it, it's immediately available here. So here's the same data, water network showing up in red here, but the same data that you can see in Esri. Alright, you say, ah, well, that's easy, everyone can see data, right? Fine, well, let me go and edit this stuff. So, the other part is also the attributes. So, if I click on something, you can see the same column names that I'm seeing in the CAD system. Both products pulling data. If I make a change here, this particular one, I'm changing something to 1002 or whatever. Note this was 1002. If I go to the CAD system, I go to make an edit, change the zoning or change any kind of attribute. I think in this time we picking on a node or something like that, and we're changing that value to, say, something less than 1,000. And we post that to the database. Showed you that diagram. The data's in a single store. Kind of is a no-brainer. When you go to the GIS, a simple refresh, you get the attributes. Okay? Pretty easy. And there you see, there's the new value right there. So that's an attribute edit for big deal. Give me a geometry edit. Let's make it a little more challenging, okay? So now you can move in and say, okay, once again, in this instance, the CAD is driving the geometry. So go in into Munsys. I go edit, and I go in and move the vertex. So the reason I'm showing this, well, it's in CAD. I've got all these snaps. I've got like midpoints and prompts and stuff like that. That's why I'm using the CAD for this, doing the editing. I can place that exactly where I want it, snap it, and that's great. One single post, and notice I'm showing you a polygon with an island in it. It's got the little hole in the middle. The house looks weird. And there's the old geometry with that square edge on it. The moment you do a refresh in the GIS, there's the data. Okay? So, connecting both those products to the same data source. Okay? There's a little more to it than just connecting. It's using the right tools for the right thing. What I've shown you here is how the CAD operator can get a whole lot more power than what they have today, and they don't have to go in and collect a whole lot of CAD drawings and rework them for GIS purposes. Okay? You want to have tools that give you more power. And actually, in today's climate where we have a situation where everybody's stressed out financially, the real thing is just work smarter. Okay, get more work done for less, more productivity done for less effort. That's really the only way we're gonna move forward out of here. And these sorts of tools allow you to do that, okay? Because you can be way more productive, and it just reduces the production time way down, so you can get to do a whole lot more. There's all sorts of integrity checks and things in there, but once again, not gonna move into that. There are other gaps as well. I talked about the CAD and GIS gap, but by moving that CAD data into a database, it's in a database. Linking it with another table, even if it's between Oracle and SQL, is not a big deal. So getting that assessors data, getting any kind of other data linked onto that is very easy. So by turning the CAD data around and putting it in a central database, we've kind of changed the game all of a sudden on that. Giving you way more functionality for editing, but solved the data management issues. There's still work that has to get done there, but we've made it way easier. And you can publish it to the web. I mean, I can show you that too, but moving on. So it's really about using the right tools for the right job in terms of the data editing so that we can maintain that fossil fabric. We'll look at Munsys specifically. There's a whole lot of things in there that I'll try to show you. And I'd be happy to chat with anybody about that at any time. And then I'm going to finish at that point. Questions? Yes?
Is this just built on top of the AutoCAD environment? You still have to maintain your subscription to AutoCAD and the Esri products, or is it separate to that?
It does run on top of the CAD products. Part of the reason you want to buy an off-the-shelf set of tools like that is we release updates that run on the latest CAD versions all the time. Actually, as a company, we specifically decided to run on another platform. And you'll notice in Munsys, the actual functions that you use, your CAD operators, we designed those to work exactly like they work in CAD. Because I don't want you to have to spend a whole lot of time training those guys that already have these tools on how to use the CAD. We don't want to have to train them to use a whole new set of approach and set of tools. So switching layers on and off, all the snaps, the plotting, all that stuff, it's a standard CAD. And that's useful because training time, right down, usability, way up. People, just that. You've got a job to do. Your job isn't learning new software. Your job is getting the work done. Okay, it's getting the bosses done. All right, yeah. Any other questions? Yes, go ahead.
The drawing data, GIS would not be able to tamper with that. Is that the look program that protects the drawing data? As far as changing lines? I mean, that's the problem I have in our department, is I don't want anybody to take my lines to be able to move them, so I don't think I trust anybody.
When I showed you these two, the short answer is we can enable all and any of that. What I just showed you was the GIS was simply reading the CAD data. And so the CAD data had complete control on it. The GIS could not edit anything. But we can, in fact, set it up so the GIS could be editing some things. as opposed to the CAD person. So there's also, you know, the question is not about technology anymore. It's about what you want to get done in your work. The technology is there where we can, you know, lock it out completely or enable dual editing completely. Both of those are there now. So the question is your workflow. So generally the workflow is you decide, you know, the dog wagging the tail, you decide who's in control, and they have control, and you can then edit that. But as it edits it, you're taking in the drawing, you make the change at the moment you post that to the database. When the GIS refreshes, they see it. They can't edit it, but they see it. It's live. It's like, it's great, because now there's none of this, where's the latest data, when was an update? Change that game. Okay? You make an edit. You want to know, immediately the other person sees it. If you want to go back to the archives, well, then you go look at the archive table and you see what was changed. Did they move a boundary? Did they change a property, an attribute? Okay. And who changed it? And when? Questions? Yes?
How do you deal with annotation?
How do I deal with annotation? You have, there's different kinds of annotations. You can put any kind of text into that data set, you know, like you typically saw the, say, the street addresses next to the parcels in the data I was showing you. That's just text. I would call it dumb text, but it's just text that's there. You can set it up so that it's driven by some field in the relating geometry. Of course you can do that. But you can put any text you like in there. That's one definition of annotation. Sometimes people also, in the Sydney, in the GIS world, they want to annotate the map, which is put down values from other fields onto my map, and absolutely you can put that down to years. And you can have those values be database driven. In other words, the content of the string comes out of a different column and it gets put into years. But as I said, I don't want to show you all the whole months of stuff. Today is really just showing you, what about this CAD and GIS and changing that again? Alright, I've got 10 minutes, so we've got probably a few more questions. Yes?
You kind of touched on this a little bit, I think, but history tracking, versioning.
Yes.
How is that? Is that parcel? I mentioned about the table.
What we do in MUNSYS is we have essentially a set of database triggers. Whenever you post something to the database, if you have activated the archive capabilities of MUNSYS, we then move. We basically create a new record in the archive table for the one, instead of it being deleted out of the original table, it's moved out of the original table into the archive table, and the new geometry is kept in the original table. So basically we have a table that stores all of the changes, either a geometry change or an attribute change. And so what we MUNSYS provide is a product where you can set, I'm tracking these things that I want to keep track of. And the user, CAD user, doesn't even know it. They just say post it to the database, we're done. Okay? But in the meantime, we're tracking that history because you really want to
track and be able to view the multiple changes.
Yeah, you can come back and say, show me this thing that was done, you know, show me the changes that were done in a certain time frame, we'll go on to a particular object and say, show me what changes have been done to it. Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. And the beauty is I'm storing in the database. And the reason we use the Oracle stuff, and hopefully we'll move on to other databases now that they're kind of catching up in terms of storing geometry as a first-class row within the database. But the beauty is, it's just a database. It's just a row of data. It happens to have a column called geometry, so we can keep track of all of the finery within that. But I'm really just using standard data. It's just like the bank. When you go to the ATM and you make a withdrawal, you want to be sure that just in that little database, keep track of that transaction. This is the same thing. You can edit on that parcel, we keep track of the transaction.
So
hey, you're running a lot too, huh?
Okay, it looks like this is GIS driven, basically, with AutoCAD. Now, do we get rid of Esri if you had your product?
Probably not. Mostly, there's a bunch of other stuff that are going on around the Esri product. Okay. Do we have customers? We have very few customers that just use MUNSYS.
Okay.
Generally, they end up being the much smaller agencies where they really don't have the overhead or the luxury to track multiple systems. And typically, where they use our stuff is where they've come in and really all they had before was just CAD and they hadn't even gone to GIS. MUNSYS offers a bunch of GIS-like functionality. At some point, it gets to be that it doesn't offer sufficient, okay, because there's a lot of stuff that Esri products do really nicely. And so that's why we bridge this gap. It doesn't do some pretty basic, some not pretty basic, it actually does fairly advanced stuff. But it's really not trying to replace an Esri deployment, particularly in the slightly larger organizations. They do have groups that work with both products. And that's our approach. You know what? You want to kind of complement this, you want to streamline this workflow, you want to make it good data, and you want to make it available. That's the bottom line. Yes. More questions?
Okay. System can import, export data from any kind of analysis software like spreadsheet or anything?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Mm-hmm. Not only are there the spatial imports that take what the CAD, you look at what it is these days with the FDO and the data providers, they pretty much import everything, same as Esri, go to Esri, they import everything. So data moving data around isn't actually our challenge anymore. Okay, it's just not the challenge. The challenge is to get the process right, get the right tools, and manage your data right. That's the challenge. Yes?
Custom buttons or tools in AutoCAD, we can use our custom buttons or tools, or we're using a HUD system tool?
If they're just formatting or layouts or those kinds of tools, then they will work just the same. If they're tools that are trying to work with geometries and work with those, then you need to update them to work on the Munsters data rather than just plain CAD data. Munsters data, even though you saw that as a drawing, it's actually Munsters objects in that drawing that you're looking at. Because we add the intelligence of, is it locked, what's its ID in the database, and is it modified, does it need to get changed into the data set. You'll notice also that when I highlighted a parcel, I got the parcel and the text as one object, and you're probably looking at that going, wait a minute, my CAD doesn't do that. Well, yeah, that is the parcel object, the Munsters parcel object, and we actually apply integrity check, and you can say, if you put a parcel in the database, you have to fill out these columns as well if you're a control freak or you need to do it for your job. But you can say, hey, you've got to fill out a value in this column here. So there's added value that we bring. So your regular list of scripts or things you have, most of the, we try and keep everything that's CAD, we don't touch it. It works just fine. So things like switching layers on or freezing, thawing, snapping, all that stuff, yes, they work exactly like they were before. They work in addition to the Munsters stuff. And that's great because your training is very little on switching your system like this. But in fact, you revolutionize the way you store your data.
And adding blocks?
Insert block. All the CAD functions are still there. You just insert it and go for it, yeah.
And how about annotations? Let's say we've got a routine and now putting a dimension off the side of an arrow.
Yeah.
Now can we, how much work is involved in getting that to show in our editing process? Do you do that?
Yeah, we make it a little easier actually, because right now it's really tough to get those to show in your Esri product. The reason we make it a little easier is we have a similar issue, by the way. Take a dimension and put it and store it in an Oracle table. Well, you have the same issue as taking that dimension and putting it into Esri. So what we do is that Munsters has routines that will take that dimension and push one button. We're actually literally exploding the dimension to a line, a leader line, with an arrow with a block to scale and rotate. If you don't see it, you just say, hey, take these and put them in Munsters. But in point of fact, we're splitting that data out into its geometric primitives of lines similar with an arrowhead and putting in the database. The good news is, and that sounds clunky, but actually it works really well. The good news is this. When you try and show that in a web browser or in Esri, it's very easy to show it because Esri and the web browser can show a line and they can show a symbol with an angle and whatever. So when you put that dimension, just using the tool in Munsters, say, these dimensions, put them in there, they're there. They're now live and displaying on the other systems with no effort required. So it solves the problem. When you come to edit the thing in Munsters, usually it's actually easier just to redraw it. So you use your standard dimension tool in AutoCAD, put the dimension down, and then hit the Munsters button and say, convert that and put it in to the system, and it ripples right through. Yeah. It's a good question. The dimensions, always a challenge. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to take one more question, I think, and then we're out of time. If we're there. Yes?
The map creation product, I know it's
what you demonstrated was the simple scale, one scale for all the all the map sheets. Do you have it so that you can do all the scales?
Yeah, what we do is we set up MapBooks. MapBooks can be in the set up. The MapBook is has a notion of a scale for that MapBook.
Right.
The boundary can be different, so you can have it in horizontal, maybe vertical. The size can change for each map sheet in that MapBook. And then literally, you can kind of compound those if you want to run it at a different scale. We call that a different MapBook in Munsters, but it's just to control the settings and then get output like that. So there's a setup on any kind of MapBooks product. Yeah, you can do multiple scales and set up a buffer on the edge, because sometimes you want to show it on the edge, sometimes you don't, that sort of thing. Yeah. Okay. All right, thanks. I'll be here at the back today and tomorrow. You want to see something, look at it, whatever. And this CAD GIS stuff, I've been in that game for close to 20 years or so now, and it's great. I think we're living good times. It's really nice to be able to move this data around and kind of solve these problems. The fundamental thing of how you actually draw it and what you use, that hasn't really changed that much. We've got just way more performance and great functionality. So thank you very much.